Hello, this is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are sitting down to speak with Greg Perry of Fluke. Greg has nearly two decades of experience in maintenance and operational best practices, and he brings to the table a broad base of experiences in the areas of MRO and storerooms, world-class maintenance principles, and world-class CMMS consultation and leadership. Greg is a senior maintenance reliability consultant with Fluke, and in addition to delivering implementation and consultation services to clients, he also presents maintenance best practice sessions at leading industry conferences and has authored several online best practice webinars. Today, we're going to speak with Greg about starting a CBM program and how to go about finding your CBM-centric voice. Hi, Greg. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. Doing good.
Awesome. So we're going to dive right in. So what would you tell leaders struggling to start their CBM enhanced reliability program?
Let's see. Right off the bat, I would have to ask them, do you understand your assets? Do you understand their value to the organization? They'll look at me and they'll go, oh yeah, so we've done an asset criticality. Have you really, really done an asset criticality value focused exercise with your assets? Because that's where you've got to start. You've got to learn and you got to understand the current asset health of those assets. And it's a very objective way to make sure that you're focusing what you need to be focusing on. Condition-based maintenance enhanced reliability program is nothing without knowing really the value that the asset brings to the organization so that you can then do more things, okay, along the journey. If you haven't done an asset criticality assessment, analysis, or anything with your assets, then you really should not proceed with the CBM journey, because it's going to be a road to nowhere.
Got it. So then why is establishing an organization's unique CBM-centric language important?
Well, first of all, we all need to be speaking the same language, right? But more importantly, we need to have a, not just common language, but we need to have a common vision. We need to have a common aim. We need to know what our goals and expectations are on this CBM-centric language that we speak of. We need to be mission and vision focused, first and foremost. Your mission and vision is going to define the what and the why. Let's not worry about the how quite yet, but let's define what are the reasons why we're going to be embarking upon the CBM journey and why. And then to clearly articulate the expectations of the journey, so that everybody that's involved understands, not just the immediate directives to today, because we don't want this to be a flavor of the day, a flavor of the week, a flavor of the month endeavor. We want this to be a living, breathing program. And so words do matter. If we stop and think about it, words do matter. So we all need to have the same language. We need to define what good looks like, so that everybody understands that. And if we don't do this, we're not going to be able to set up our measuring sticks. We're not going to be able to put in the proper KPIs, okay? Because KPIs have meaning too. And we've all heard garbage in, garbage out, right? And so if we don't define up front, then we're not going to be driving the appropriate behaviors. We're not going to be measuring the appropriate behaviors. And nothing is going to be really, realistically attainable. In other words, you're just throwing spaghetti on the wall and just seeing what sticks. Here in the industry with reliability, I've come to love these two phrases that I'm about to say. And when I first heard them, they didn't really mean much to me. But over time, they have taken on a new life of their own. But I'll have to make sure that I give the proper person credit who actually said these first. It was Jeff Shiver, the People and Processes. He teaches and he talks about measure what you treasure and then treasure what you measure. And I didn't quite understand that, but here in the context of CBM-centric language, it makes sense to me that you measure what you treasure first, then you set about to treasure what you measure by establishing KPIs that, again, drives the appropriate behaviors and is realistically obtainable.
That's awesome. So then we love Jeff Shiver here too. It's great advice. So why is understanding pre-existing cultures before implementing a new CBM program important, Greg?
Well, that feeds right off of your mission and vision being focused there. What we want to do is we want to make sure that there's a destination in terms of where we are going versus where are we going. There's two different phraseologies there. You know, where are we going basically implies that we have a direction. We have a vector. We've got somewhere that we're trying to get to. Versus when you start asking questions of where are we going, then that means nobody knows. So understanding pre-existing cultures gives you a better understanding of where people are, what their understanding is, and allows you to challenge pre-existing assumptions, and more importantly, even those assumptions that are of tomorrow. Continue to the mindset of challenging those assumptions. It's all a part of the continuous improvement, move forward, strive to be better concept. And I guess you just sum it up by saying you got to know where you are in relation to the thought paths chosen previously that have gotten you to where you are today in your journey. I'm not the smart guy that ever quoted something like that. I think Einstein is the one that basically said your best thinking has gotten you to where you are today. So it makes you stop and think, well, okay, well, what was the culture that got us here? Okay. And where can we improve upon that culture so that we can set about this mission and this vision, and then we can set about this CBM enhanced reliability program that we want to launch. So that's why you need to understand pre-existing culture. And also the old cliche, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Very true. So then I'm curious about, Greg, if you have any take on kind of just getting leadership's buy-in. So if someone is, you know, trying to implement more reliability or more CBM into their program, do you have any tips for them on maybe how to get their, you know, upper management's ear?
You know, these three questions that we just answered, if you were to take it upon yourself to maybe look at it from a pilot perspective and try it in a pilot environment and prove that the outcome is obtainable and that this is something that we can do. From a executive sponsorship point of view, they definitely want to be told the whiffle. So what's in it for me? Well, if you can come to the table and say, well, here we are, I've got a winning, I guess if you'd call it a recipe, okay, and how to go about doing this. And just so you know, we took a little bit of time and we piloted it in this one little small area and look at what we've accomplished with just this one sampling. I promise you, you're going to get their attention very quickly. Get their buy-in. That way they know that you're not just selling them a bill of goods. You know, it's not, again, the flavor of the week, flavor of the month. It's not, I went to this conference and this is what they talked about and this is what we need to be doing. No, actually put it into a small pilot, follow the suggestions that I just gave in these last three questions and start putting it together and start proving that it can be done. That's the only real way to move forward is proof in the pudding, make it happen. There's lots of low hanging fruit, I'm sure, in your organization where you can begin, where you can start with. But this is not an opportunity to just go out and try to spend dollars on shiny objects and new technology. That's not what CBM journey is about, period. So proving to leadership that that's not what you're doing, I think it's going to go very far.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Greg, so much for sitting down with us for a few minutes today and just sharing your knowledge. We really enjoyed talking with you, and hopefully we'll be able to connect with you again in the future.
Awesome. A pleasure. Thank you.